Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio. On WGR.
Sal, did you know we had a breaking news sound effect thing, introduction thing? Did you know we had that? Is that because we're Odyssey now? Like, I missed a meeting. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I know we've had that for a while. But we just don't have it a lot happen, like, during the shows. Like, sometimes it just happens at random times, and
right.
It happened. So, you know, here we are again. I'm feeling great about our QB game now. If you remember, I had Fitz to Washington and Darnold to Carolina like 2 months ago when we did that.
Okay, yeah, right. But yeah, our that when you and I did our thing, right? The musical chairs thing. Yeah. Good.
Yes.
Good for you.
It wasn't just the teams. Like, I mean, specifically putting them on. And you know, in full disclosure, the reason why I chose Darnold on the Panthers at the time was I said, look, I didn't, if they couldn't get Watson, and I felt Watson wasn't getting traded. Matt Rhule wanted the Jets job a couple of years ago when Adam Gase got it. He didn't get it because they told him he couldn't hire his assistants, basically. So he's like, well, I'm not taking the job. But I've always felt that that means if you're going to take that job and he wanted it, that he was good with Darnold and he would vet him. So to me, that made sense as a landing spot.
Yeah. The WGR draft standings Twitter account, I think, is giving you credit for Darnold. Did you have Carolina in the draft too? The four of us did.
I don't know. I don't remember. But somebody who's keeping track obviously says that I did because of these points they just gave me. So
right, and the points should not be. I don't see you with Carolina here. Who's got Carolina?
No.
Mike has Carolina.
So
they didn't add anything to your total. And I don't know, like, does Darnold go there and become the starter, or is there like a battle with he and Bridgewater? Do they do something with Bridgewater? Like, what do you think this means? I mean, we know what it means for the Jets, and we'll get to that here, but what do you think it means for Darnold? Does he go there, do you think, as a starter?
My question, what exactly did they give up for him? I just saw it come across before I went out with you guys.
They gave up a sixth-round pick this year and a second and a fourth next year.
Boy, I think that's hard not to start him giving that much up. A second, a fourth, and a sixth. I think they roll with Darnold, but I mean, I wouldn't be completely surprised. But to me, this means they might move Bridgewater. I think Darnold, to me, Darnold is the favorite to start there now because of this.
Right. If they had Bridgewater last year, and if you're looking to upgrade, I don't know that Darnold is, you know, definitely going to accomplish that, but I think you want to see, right? You've given up some capital to make it happen, and, you know, they've been talking like they're going to move heaven and earth to find a franchise quarterback. I think you want to exhaust that with Sam Darnold because, A, the price you paid for him, and, B, you know, he hasn't played for you yet, and see if he's in any way recoverable, I suppose. That makes sense. So I'm inclined to agree with you that, and frankly, the Jets, I think, did better in this trade than I ever thought they would at this point.
I agree with you. The Jets have made some nice trades as far as the return they've gotten for, like, Jamal Adams, obviously, Sam Darnold now. You know, I mean, they still have to – make these picks correctly. They still have to build the franchise, the organization. Obviously, this means they're taking a quarterback. I think most people believe it's going to be Zach Wilson. So I think that that's where they are right now. Now, what he can do, I still think they're pretty void of talent, you know, across their roster. They brought in some pieces this offseason. But, you know, ranking the AFC East teams, we did this the other day. We were kind of talking a little bit. At this point, I think you have to put the Jets fourth simply because we know they're going to be starting a rookie quarterback.
Right. Do you happen to remember, this might be a tough question for you to answer, but every now and then during the draft process, you know, the run-up to a draft, I feel like we start just talking, and you just alluded to it there, most people seem to think they're going to take Zach Wilson. And it has felt that way for weeks now, if not longer than that. Do you remember how we landed there? Like why with such authority it's been decided that they love Zach Wilson? Like, did somebody say something? Did somebody report that you know, that that's the case? I can't remember how we decided, but that's absolutely how it sounds and has sounded for weeks now.
It was leading up to, like, Wilson's pro day where there was just some reporting coming out that he was kind of, like, becoming the front runner, and people started to really like him, and it looked like, you know, the Jets were maybe eyeing him, and then all of a sudden he had his pro day, and he pretty much killed it. You know, people talked about how great his pro day was, and then it came from there that, you know, this kind of sealed the deal, so to speak, for the Jets. And I don't know if that was more about they didn't like the other guys. I think it was really more that they really liked Wilson, but it might have been more so that they didn't like the other guys as much or felt that they weren't worthy enough to be taken as the number two pick. So I think it was percolating a little before that, and then I think the pro day sealed the deal. But, yeah, there was some reporting going on where it just seemed like they were headed in that direction, so to speak, for even before the pro day.
So Carolina makes their move. It's not to draft a guy. It's funny, I was watching a clip of a podcast with Josh Norris, and he made the point that if they liked a guy in the draft, they would have made the trade San Francisco made. Now, it's possible that without us knowing that they tried and just couldn't get it done for whatever reason, I don't know, but his assertion was they're done with the young guys, you know, as far as the draft goes, because they didn't make a move, and one's not coming now. So this is their move. You know, they give up, you know, not a ton, but it's a second round pick is the key part of that, and three picks overall, to sort of, I guess it's the best you could do if you're Carolina at this point, right? I mean, if you don't like any of the kids and you don't think you can get up to where you need to get to draft them, I guess the next best thing is just throw another guy at the wall and see if he sticks.
Yeah, that's right. And I think this also says something about maybe what Watson's market is right now or value or what's going on with him, right? Even if you believe that the Texans would trade Deshaun Watson, I think the options are dwindling here. The Jets now have a lot of ammo, but I think it's clear the Jets are taking a quarterback. I don't think they're making all these deals to trade all of this for Deshaun Watson. It's possible. Well, I don't think it's happening, right? I don't think the Dolphins are going to do that, although you can still make an argument they have enough capital. It does not seem like that. They're positioning themselves, and I think they were kind of making sure everybody knew Tua's our guy after they made those other trades. Again, still possible. I doubt it. San Francisco clearly doesn't have enough capital now because of what they gave up in future drafts. Philadelphia, I don't think so. I think Deshaun Watson, as of right now, stays in Houston. I don't know how that turns out eventually, but at least before this draft, it doesn't look like Deshaun Watson's going anywhere.
I feel like teams are, and I guess I want to give them credit for this. Maybe they're giving up on the idea because of the legal stuff here, Sal. Like, I mean, how can you trade for that guy right now? I mean, until that's resolved, and it doesn't seem like that's real imminent. I mean, I don't see how you could possibly pull that off. So, you know, you got to do something in the interim if you're shopping for a quarterback. And so Carolina does, well, they did something. So, yeah, the Jets will definitely take someone. We think it'll be Zach Wilson. So, you know, the AFC East, we'll see what the Patriots end up doing. But you've got Tua from last year, a new guy for the Jets, presumably, at, you know, this year. And then, you know, New England is the wild card in that, in the division, because I wouldn't want to close the door to them drafting someone, even though they've got Cam Newton there.
Agreed with you. And I think they're also, I'm not putting them in the Watson discussion, by the way, but obviously there could be people who believe that maybe this strengthens their, you know, chances because of all the other things we said. But I agree with you that they could very well still take a quarterback. I think the question for me would be, do they trade up for one for New England? They have enough capital to do it. Like, they can move up higher in the draft. They're not getting into the top three, but they could move up if they really like someone. And it looks like, unless you, if you don't like anyone outside the top three, you're not going to do it, because I think you have to get there. Quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3, it appears. So what does New England do now? I don't know. They could still draft a quarterback. Where does Trey Lance go? Does he go number three? It looks like that's going to be Mac Jones. I mean, I don't know. So they could still take, right. They could still position themselves for a Lance or a Fields. I just don't see them right now being able to do that, but that doesn't rule them out taking a quarterback in the first round or overall, whoever that might be.
Yeah. I think what they – two things have to happen. One, Atlanta needs to stay where they are and draft Kyle Pitts or something, right? And I think there's a case to be made for them to do that, right? If they're yep. not in the quarterback market, I mean, there's a case to be made that they should be, but it doesn't appear that they are. So they're staying with Matt Ryan. And if you're going to keep playing that out, I think getting him, you know, continuing to add, and especially a talent like Pitts appears to be, like, that'd be really tempting. I mean, I know you can get rich trading back, but boy, if I'm going to try to win now, I think a talent like Pitts on the board has got to be really tempting for the Falcons. So if they stay there and do that, then maybe Lance, you know, becomes someone who takes or Mac Jones, like somebody's gonna fall. Like the idea of 1, 2, 3, 4, if Atlanta stays put, I think probably dies. So maybe somebody, you know, it. The other thing that has to happen, okay, that has to happen first, and then New England has to like one of those guys, you know, whether right. that's Lance or whether that's Mac Jones, if we're right about the pecking order here. I mean, we don't have to be, but it seems like the you know, certainly the top two, maybe even top three, I don't know, Fields and Lance, I guess I see that different depending on where you look on a given day, I guess. But like, I think they're going to be really fun, New England, to watch for the next few weeks, and of course leading up to the actual draft, to see, you know, what, if anything, they do. There's still, you know, the Garoppolo question is out there too. San Francisco's going to draft a guy. Do they keep him, have him play a year, and have the guy they pick at three, you know, just sit behind him, or do they get something for him, or just cut ties entirely? I guess we'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah,
Sal Capaccio on the. Go ahead. Sorry.
They say a lot of times the draft starts at, you know, blank. The draft starts at three this year, I guess, right? That's the key spot. I think we all know what the first two picks are going to be based on, you know, unless there's a surprise and they don't take Wilson. And then is it Mac Jones? And if it is, okay, here we go. No matter who it is, the draft starts at three this year, I think.
Yeah. So I had other stuff that I wanted to talk to you about the Bills specifically, but I think I'll hold off, and we, you know, we got all week. Did you watch I'm assuming you watched the basketball on Saturday. Okay.
Well,
you know, I'm very casual. I was so glad that I thought to get there, because it's one of those games that you want to see, even if you're not like heavily invested in the outcomes. I mean, that was a remarkable sporting event for sure Saturday night.
Yeah, I'll tell you this too about it, which is because Jeremy and I basically we had this discussion this morning about, you know, great games and how great that was, like an instant, that's amazing, great game. I spent a lot of today defending a sports take on Twitter, which I usually don't have to do, but I did today. Now, a lot of people agreed with me, but it's just an offshoot of this. Which is basically, I basically made the case today that, like, the greatest comeback in NFL history, the Bills over the Oilers, wasn't a great football game. It was two great halves, it was two very different halves, but it was a great ending. It was an incredible comeback, an iconic game in NFL history, not a great football game. That was a great basketball game from start to finish, an incredible game. Bulldogs, they both shot 58-59% from the floor, which is incredible. Yeah. I mean, it was blow by blow, back and forth. To me, that's the definition of a great game. That was a great game.
Do you think – I saw a little bit of this. Do you think the comeback – well, if the comeback game had been a 41-38 shootout as opposed to, you know, huge lead and then a huge comeback, So really, tale of two halves. If it had been back and forth, do you think it's remembered the same way? Like, not the same way. Is it a great game, or is it just a high-scoring playoff game?
I think it's then just a high-scoring playoff game. Look, I just have my standard for being a great game is, like, a great contest. Like, from start to finish, I'm engaged, and I'm watching this thing from start to finish. I think the Sabres-Devils 4 overtime game was a great game. Like, every single rush up the ice was, oh, my God, what's going to happen? These goalies were incredible, right? It doesn't have to be high-scoring, right, but it needs to be engaging from start to finish. Like, I don't think the greatest comeback in NFL history was. I think it was boring for the first half. That's why a lot of people left at halftime, because the game sunk for the first
half. And then it got
to be a great game, and especially from Bill's fans' perspective, which obviously on Twitter people are going to come at me and say, oh, it was a great game, and all these things happened. It wasn't great from the Houston Oilers' perspective, but I'm saying from a casual fan perspective, what constitutes a great game? To me, that is not it. That was an iconic, incredible incredible comeback, which makes it, you know, something that is legendary.
Yeah, I like how you're working here, because maybe one, I don't know if you've responded on Twitter to this or said it already, but maybe one criteria is a game cannot be great if you are tempted to walk away from it at any point. Right, like it's so lopsided that you just, oh, forget it. Like I'm done here, you know? Like, and obviously a lot of people did that in person, actually, as opposed to, you know, just turned it off or switched the station or whatever. So I think that's a good way to look at it. So all right,
I used the example earlier with somebody. I said, well, what if a baseball team had one run per inning scored on them and goes to the ninth inning down 9-0? And then has a 10-run bottom of the ninth. Does that make it a great game? No, it's a great comeback. It's not a great game. Like, for 9 innings, I'm like, this is a horrible game. Like, you know, what's going on here?
Right. Well, what do you want tonight? You want to see Gonzaga become the first team since 76 to complete this? Or do you have a rooting interest in this tonight?
That would be a great storyline. I'm fine with that. I don't really care who wins. I don't have a rooting interest. I think these two teams have been on a collision course for a long, long time. I, like many, many other people, did have this as the national championship game because they were just the best teams all year. They were. And I think we're getting the two best teams in the national championship. I love it. I think the Gonzaga story is great. And for what you just said, plus, I just think them as a school in basketball and where they came from and when they were this pesky upstart back in the mid-90s, and they're like, you can't even say the name correctly, to where they are today, I think is super cool.
All right, man. Happy birthday a day late, by the way. I found out, because your birthday was yesterday, that you share a birthday with my older sister. So I'll never forget your birthday.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Thanks for this. We'll catch up later in the week, I'm sure.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
That is Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. You can catch Sal all week. He's in for Howard, who is on vacation. So Sal is co-hosting with Jeremy White on our morning show. He'll be joining us just on the regular like usual. All right, big news: the Jets trade Darnold to the Carolina Panthers. Not shocking at all. I mean, we've been talking on this show rather matter-of-factly, like, they were going to trade Darnold eventually, despite whatever nonsense they were putting out there about how they, you know, Corey Davis is signing there, assuming he's the quarterback or having been told he's the quarterback, whatever. It's all a bunch of noise. It happened, finally. We'll dig into that as we continue. Lines are open, really, the rest of the day here. We've had our couple of guests, had some fun with Jerry Sullivan, our old buddy, and, of course, Sal, and now it's time for us. So you got anything on Darnold being traded to Carolina from the Jets? They're obviously drafting a quarterback. I think, like I said, we've been assuming that. Now it's got to be definite. So your thoughts on that and the basketball game tonight, and if you watched Saturday or even yesterday's women's national title game, which I did, really enjoyed all of it, I'm open to hanging out and talking about that as well. 803-0550 is the phone number. Mike Shope is on vacation. I am the Bulldog. Sneaky Joe DiBiase along as well. This is WGR.
From what I've heard, close to the...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Building, judging by what fits their offense, I think they'll take Zach Wilson, number two overall, and they will kind of turn a new page of this franchise with a new face under center. And then, unlike Sam Darnold, which was, you know, Mike Maccagnan's job to build around him, especially in front of him with the offensive line, they will continue to try to do that. This is Joe Douglas's show now. I think at 23, all eyes are on the offensive line, very similar to what we saw last year when they took Mekhi Becton with a top 15 pick. We'll see how they play it at 23.
That is Connor Rogers from Bleacher Report on with us last week talking about what he expected to happen with the Jets. And, I don't know what about that offensive line point at 23 with their second of two first-round picks, but at two, it's pretty clear they're going quarterback with the trade just announced. Well, hold on. The Jets haven't announced it yet, right? It's Adam Schefter reporting.
No, they have announced now, too.
Oh, yeah. They have announced, too. Okay, good. Yeah. So it's done. Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers, and that's a sixth-round pick in this year's draft, and then next April's draft, a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick. And this caveat about the fifth-year option being picked up was new news there at the bottom of the hour update, Joe, at least to me. Maybe I missed it the first time around, but that's interesting. So Carolina is committing, you know, if they keep him, they've got Darnold for 2 years, basically, is what they've done with the trade. And so we'll see how that goes. I mean, there's the Jet piece, which is of interest to us because it's the AFC East, of course. And then there's the Sam Darnold still be, you know, is he recoverable? Is he retrievable? Is he someone that, you know, can fit the bill for Carolina as a franchise quarterback? And, boy, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I think the circumstances around his being on the Jets are tough. I mean, we talked about it all the time. Sal would make this point pretty frequently that if roles were reversed and Sam Darnold ended up here and Josh Allen ended up in New York, maybe we've got, you know, very, very similar situations with the players in those cities on those teams. Like, maybe Josh Allen is not an MVP candidate. And maybe Sam Darnold is doing great here. I mean, he does not have all the physical skills that Josh Allen has, arm and athleticism, but he's got enough skills to be drafted third. He can move around he's got decent mobility, I think I'd say, but it's not like he's a dangerous runner like Allen certainly can be. And so I want to respect the opportunity that, you know, a clean slate will mean something for Darnold. But I think there's maybe too many troubling traits that you saw, even with the disadvantages that you had being on the Jets. So we'll see what happens, man, like whether or not he can perform and sort of get his career back on track. He's going to get an opportunity. Certainly it seems like that's the case with him being moved to Carolina. 803-0550 is the number if you want to get in on the conversation and have any reaction to what the Jets have done today and what Carolina's done today. Lines are open. Mike Shope is off. I'm the Bulldog. Sneaky Joe's along for the ride. Joe, I did not see all of your rankings of quarterbacks under 25 that you and your brother Lou E.S. compiled from noon to 3 today. Where did Darnold come in? You don't have to tell me about Lou's, but if you've got yours,
yeah.
Was he on the list? Did he rate?
Yeah. We did top 20, so he would have got in there. I got him at 16. and Lou had him at 12, I think. Okay. So guys ahead of him, Tua, Gardner Minshew, Daniel Jones, Drew Lock for me. So, like, that's kind of the range. Not great. Mac Jones right around there, Jalen Hurts. Kind of those, like, you know, fringe, like, they're either starting or you can make an argument that they're starting. None of those guys are, like, they're franchise quarterbacks. So, I don't think it's impossible Darnold gets there. He's still only 23 years old. And how many guys have we seen leave Adam Gase, go somewhere else, and just be great? Like, even Ryan Tannehill did it at the same position. So, with a pretty advanced offensive scheme, with Joe Brady, who's still there as their offensive coordinator, and good weapons like DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson are good wide receivers, McCaffrey too. I like that landing spot for Darnold specifically a lot, and I think that it could really work for him.
And given what they paid, like, do you think there's any question that he goes there? Like, they'll want him to win the job.
No, he'll start.
They'll probably
right?
talk about how there'll be a competition if Bridgewater's there, but they'll want him to be the guy, right?
Oh, for sure. Rappaport's even saying now that they're looking to move Bridgewater, and if they can't, then there's going to be, like, contract restructure stuff there. So, no, I think Darnold, they're bringing Darnold in. You spent a second-round pick, you're starting that guy. Especially on a team that's, you know, like, they're ready to try to win right now. Like, the owner was reportedly, like, obsessive about getting a franchise quarterback. And if this is their move, then they must see him as that. They must see him to have that ceiling. Whereas Bridgewater, they clearly don't, or else why do this in the first place? So I think they're definitely starting Darnold.
Yeah. Well, they either see the ceiling, or they're hoping for the ceiling. It's worth taking a shot on the ceiling, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can get behind that. Like, it's not to me any kind of a slam dunk. Like, oh my God, what a great trade! Because you just don't know. Like, Darnold has put. There's been a lot of sloppiness on tape. Like, his career is, you know, he's not been that good yet. But now, I love opportunities in sports, whether it's our teams or not. I mean, obviously, I like it a lot more when it's our team that's in a spot like this where you get to find something out. Like, you get an answer. You know, like, was it Adam Gase? Was it instability on the Jets? Was it a lack of talent around him? You know, or was it all on him? You know, you go to another place, you make a good point about the coordinator and the skill position players. Like, it's set up pretty nicely. It's not the best landing spot, but they're not bereft of talent. The coach has a good reputation, and the coordinator too, like you say. So, I love when you get an opportunity to get an answer, right? You know, as uncertain as all this can be, because it's still sports, and you just never know for sure. But we're gonna get an idea of whether Darnold could really play or not, and you know, people who have been backing him, I think, have got to be pretty pumped for him to get this opportunity, because the way it was looking here. In this far into the off season, I mean, we've talked about it pretty regularly here. It didn't seem like there was going to be a chair for him to get a starting gig. But there, you know, Carolina was still in the market, obviously, and whatever has not materialized on the veteran trade front, either with Russell Wilson, which seems kind of like a distant memory now, and Deshaun Watson, which maybe will become a distant memory. They had to do something, or felt compelled to do something. I guess they didn't have to do something. They had Teddy Bridgewater, but they wanted to at least get some form of an upgrade. And I don't know that they've done that. But if I'm in Carolina doing this job, I'm sort of nodding and going, well, you know, you couldn't get done what you wanted to do, so you're going to try this rather than just stand still and tread water and wait till next year to try again, either in the draft or in free agency or the trade market or whatever. Just go ahead and do this. And, you know, if it sticks, great, you're all set. If not, okay, you know, a second round pick is going to be tough to part with, but you know, you got to pay something to try this on. And so, you know, I see it. I like it from both sides. I think the Jets did better than I think we all expected them to do. At this late stage, again, with the draft only coming up a few weeks from now, I didn't think they would get a second-round pick, albeit for next year. But still, you know, that'll be nice to have in their pocket next year when the draft comes around.
Does it make you think about Atlanta at all? I've been having my updates that Albert Breer, it's a guess. It's not even a report. A guess that they'll take a quarterback. It could just be a divisional thing, too, where Atlanta would just tell Carolina, like, we're not giving you this pick. We're not going to give you the ticket to your franchise quarterback. But it could also be if Carolina knew that the Falcons are going to take a quarterback at four, well, then that even takes – who's sitting at five? Is that Cincinnati? Like, that would take that out of play. So I wonder if they have it in their heads that Atlanta's taking a QB, so there's no worth of trying to move up anymore.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, I feel a little awkward bringing it up because, you know, Mike dubbed this Bulldog season, and, like, he's not here to introduce it, so I feel a little egomaniacal referring to Bulldog season. But here, I heard the Albert Breer bit there in the updated 430, and my read on that, through the smokescreen, is Atlanta letting everyone know that they're open for business. I think the division thing is real. I don't think they would have traded with Carolina and like sort of gift wrapped them their next quarterback. So that makes sense to me. And now, you know, they I think in doing your due diligence, you want to make sure if somebody else out there, New England, I don't know, whomever, wants to come to you and offer something close to what the 49ers did with the Dolphins a week ago Friday, I think you want to avail yourself of that, right? You want to be open for business. So I think any word about them, I would predict they're leaking out that they like Trey Lance or they like Justin Fields and they're open to drafting a guy to sit him behind Matt Ryan is just to get other teams interested to see if they want to come on up there and get Atlanta out of there. And, you know, like I was saying with Sal, like I think it's sensible for Atlanta to just stay where they are and draft Kyle Pitts. Like, if they want to keep moving with Matt Ryan, that I think could be a good idea for them. I don't think Matt Ryan is old enough. I wouldn't see them at that high in the draft drafting someone and having him sit behind Matt Ryan like that. I don't believe San Francisco wants to do it, and I would have a hard time believing Atlanta wants to do it. It doesn't pass the smell test for me. I think they're either going to stay there and draft a tight end or a receiver, or they're going to get out of there and get paid handsomely for their trouble. I think the least likely scenario there is they stay there and draft Justin Fields or Trey Lance.
Matt Ryan he'll be 36 next month. They have a new GM and a new coach. So, there's been no other noise on them other than one guy guessing. So I would want to think that there would be more out there. Like, new regime, a pick that can land you a franchise quarterback, and basically there's no noise about it happening, again, other than Albert Breer. So I think I would probably agree that they probably don't do that, but the logical side of my brain says they should do it, so I also don't want to completely throw it out the window. Because if I were them, I think that is what I would do.
Yep. I hear that, and I think I would be tempted to do the same, but I don't know. What is Ryan's deal like? I mean, they are locked into him, aren't they?
They're, at least for this year. I'll bring it up again. But the last time I looked, it was like $45 million in dead cap this year.
Right. But maybe next year it simmers down a little bit.
Never mind. No. This year it's $65 million in dead cap. Next year it's $40 million in dead cap. So
right.
No, you're right. Yeah, they are stuck with that.
I don't think that's tenable. That's right. I don't think moving on from him is an idea. So, you know, keep going is what I say. Like, drafting a quarterback at three, that's even worse than drafting Aaron Rodgers' eventual replacement at, like, wherever that was, right? The end of round one?
Yep.
Boy, doing it at three would be bonkers.
Four.
It's three, right? At four, sorry. Oh, yeah. Why do I keep saying three? The Niners are at three. 1, 2, 3, Atlanta's the first non-quarterback spot, maybe, depending on what you think of Albert Breer's reporting. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll keep going on this. Sam Darnold leaves the division and goes to Carolina. looks like he's in line to be a starter. They've taken on his fifth-year option, so they're buying him for a couple of years. Your reaction, 803-0550 is the number. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is away. Sneaky Joe DiBiase alongside as well, and this is WGR.
That's always a great feeling, as certainly a great feeling as a coach for personal reasons, but then the enjoyment of just watching your guys immerse in the moment and stay engaged in the moment. There were plenty of emotional situations that could have rode a roller coaster through the game, especially trailing, and we didn't. They were excited for their next shift to go out there with their four teammates. That was certainly nice to see.
That is Sabres interim coach Don Granato talking about the vibe on the bench during Saturday's shootout win over the Rangers. Sabres traveling to New Jersey today. We'll play the Devils in New Jersey tomorrow night. So we'll have plenty of hockey for you this week. Busy week for them. Tuesday, Thursday, Friday is the schedule for the Sabres this week. I'm the Bulldog. Glad to have you along for the ride here. Mike Shope is on vacation. Sneaky Joe DiBiase along, as always, as well. 803-0550 is the number. News of the day in the NFL, and it's in the AFC East as the Jets have traded Sam Darnold, same draft class as Josh Allen, third overall pick. He is on to Carolina after a trade today sends him to the Panthers for a sixth-round pick in this April's draft and a second and fourth-round pick in next year's draft. Open to taking your reactions, and Tom is first up this segment. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hi. I hope Atlanta does take a quarterback, because then that should mean Denver takes one and New England won't get Mac Jones.
And you're worried about New England getting Mac Jones?
Not for the next year, but why give him something better than Noodle Arm Newton?
Yep. I hear you. I've said a few times here that I don't think real highly of Mac Jones as a top of the draft prospect. But the thing that would give you pause, it would me anyway, would be New England, because he reads like Tom Brady on paper. You know, like he's not this freakish athlete. He just seems like a sort of slow and steady, which I know is a ridiculous way to describe Tom Brady, who's won Super Bowls upon Super Bowls upon Super Bowls. But like, as far as a prospect coming into the draft, it seems like there's comparisons to be made there. So
yeah, if McDaniels can bring out the best in them, and they've been building up their line, then you know, they could be at least second place.
Yeah, I mostly want to see them. You make the point about Mac Jones, and I agree to an extent. The thing I'd be more worried about is them getting their hands on Trey Lance or Justin Fields, like if they can manage that. So, I mean, I hear you. I'd love all the quarterbacks to disappear before New England can make a move. I don't know how likely it is. Joe and I were talking last segment about Atlanta, and I'm not sure I buy it that they would draft a quarterback at this point. They could, but I'm not. I'll be surprised if it happens. I think it's smoke, any idea that they will, considering how married they still are to Matt Ryan. But when you get down to the Bills part of it, like New England is always in the picture. And I'm glad, Tom, that you called and brought that up, because it's a good way of looking at it, and it's a good way to sort of get the conversation back to being about the Bills. And that's exactly what I intend to do in the next segment and in the next hour, is talk about the AFC East and New England as a focal point and what they could do at quarterback that would be viewed as a threat by Bills fans, because, you know, it's only been one down year. You know, like, to me, if they get a couple things right, and especially quarterback, they could be right back to being, I think, a respectable threat. So we'll get into that as we move into the 5 o'clock hour here. Thanks again for the call, Tom. Mike Shope, again, is on vacation. I am the Bulldog, along with Sneaky Joe DiBiase. 803-0550 is the number, and this is WGR.